So the title for this week's message is eternity. We speak a lot about eternity. The reality for any congregation, regardless of what it believes, or, you know, whether it be Judaism, Messianic Judaism, Catholicism, I believe probably Hinduism, any religion, anything where people come together to congregate to learn, it should be to prepare them for life in this world today. But even more so for life in eternity. Now, of course, even though I said all those other religions, I believe ours has it right. Or at least those who put Messiah Yeshua first, whatever they call them, we've got it right. And you know, as long as this life feels, the one that we're living right now, as long as it feels long, I mean, it really does at times, it's nothing compared to what eternity is going to be. I think that even as we do think of how long this is, eternity is going to be different. There's not going to be that feeling that it's a long time that we're going through this, through eternity. We're not going to look back from the time we enter into the eternal and say, boy, that was a long time already. And we've got a long time to go. I don't think we're going to be doing that for all eternity. And I think eternity is really a very hard concept to grasp because we don't have a really good definition, or we don't have anything to compare it to, really. We can't say, well, that's eternity, therefore we know what eternity is. You know, we can do that for the day. We can say we know what a day is because we've seen a day, experienced a day, and can anticipate what a day is going to be. And we can even do that for a year. We've all been through, for some of us, a lot of years. We know what a year is, and we know how different they can feel. We can even do that for a lifetime. All of us know people who have passed on from this lifetime, so we can look back at their lifetime and say, sometimes it's much too short, but say, that's what a lifetime is. But we can't do that with eternity. We can't look for the example, really, that we can relate to. So today I want to get a bit into what eternity should mean to us, because in Scripture, that's really kind of the point of of Scripture. If we look at Scripture from up close, it's a moral code on how to live. But if we zoom back from it and look at a big picture, it's the moral code so that we enter into eternity correctly. That's what Scripture is. Let's start off with a couple of definitions of eternity that I found online. So Britannica Encyclopedia Online defines eternity as timelessness, or a state of that which is held to have neither beginning nor end. Eternity and the related concept of infinity have long been associated with strong emotional overtones, serving to astonish, weary, or confound those who attempt to grasp it. Okay. I also found a definition from dictionary.com, and they actually had two definitions for eternity. And the first one was from a secular standpoint, and it says that it's a state to which time has no application. Timelessness. The second is what they call the theological viewpoint, which says endlessness after death. Whatever that means. I think that eternity may be better seen as not counting time as it goes by, but instead, while in eternity, we will no longer keep track of time. Not that time ends, we just won't keep track of it. It'll just be a state of being in the current, the state of being in now, which never ends. Either way, what we think about it while there in eternity, it won't end. If that makes any sense. Eternity just doesn't end. Whether we're in it, we're looking from it from the outside, eternity never ends. When we think of eternity for Adonai, I think that this is the case for him. But even that seems to boggle the mind. Look at what the psalmist says about eternity in Adonai in Psalm 90. Starting at the top, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. My Lord, you have been our dwelling from generation to generation. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Adonai is, was, and always will be. He is eternal in a way that we can't be eternal. We will always be, from the time that we were born, going forward. We'll always be. But we had that starting point. The world had a starting point. Everything else had a starting point except Adonai, except Elohim. We're reminded of this fact when Adonai, after listening to Job and his three friends for a while, each thinking that they had some wisdom, and eventually Job wanted to confront Adonai. Adonai asked Job, where were you when the fountains, when the foundations of the world were laid? Job 36, starting in verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its dimensions, if you know? Or who stretched a line over it? On what were its foundations set? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. It seems that Adonai is saying, you think you have eternal wisdom, but do you really? There is but one that does. Capital O for the one. He's the only one. This is just one of the things that makes Adonai different from men. He always was, and we and all that we know and see are only from what he created. Only from that point that he created us. When we think of eternity, I think that for most of the world, they only think of the positive, that there'll never be, that there'll be a never-ending goodness, that they think that what they believe as a God only provides goodness, which is not really always the case when we look in Scripture. It's not the truth. In Scripture, we see that there will be two different eternities for two different kinds of people. They'll not be separated as Jew and Gentile, as some people think. But Adonai has his own measuring rod that he uses to separate people. Yeshua himself tells us that men will be separated into an eternal life and an eternal death. He tells us a bit about this life and death in his teaching as we see in John 5. Starting in verse 24 of John 5, it says, he says, amen, amen, I tell you, whoever hears my words and trusts the one who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed over from death into life. Amen, amen, I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of Ben Elohim. Those who hear will live. But life is not the life as we know it. And death is not the death that we think about it now, that he's saying there. The word for death there is nekros, which means both figuratively and literally dead. So when we see the figuratively dead, they are those who are dead in the spirit or walking without knowledge, of knowledge of Messiah Yeshua. But even they have, when hearing and accepting, will go from spiritually dead to spiritually alive with Adonai. The cross is the same wording in the Greek that Yeshua used when saying, "Let the dead bury the dead." Remember that? Twice Yeshua says nekros, but each time it's a different meaning. Because, of course, the physically dead could not bury the physically dead. But the spiritually dead could bury the physically dead. So we see two different deaths. One is physically alive but spiritually dead, and the other is physically dead. The final death in this world. In Matthew, Yeshua again separates the different eternities for those who live their lives differently while living on earth. In a parable, he says that the Lord will separate the people like a shepherd does the sheep and goats. For those who did well when alive, the sheep, he will give them their inheritance that they earned by doing good to him, by doing good to others in need. But for those who did not do well for him, by not doing for those in need, he says this, Matthew 25, starting in 45. Then he will answer them, saying, "Amen, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." These shall go off to everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. There's an everlasting reward, which is called an everlasting life, for those judged to have lived their life well, and an everlasting punishment for those who did not live life well, according to the standard of Scripture, or the instructions, which is called Torah. This is what is called eternity for us. Regardless of how we're judged, there will be an eternity. The idea of this is expanded on by Shaul when he wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 1 of his second letter, 2 Thessalonians 1:6, starting there. "For after all, it is right in the sight of God to pay back trouble for those who trouble you, and relief to you who suffer trouble among us. At the revelation of the Lord Yeshua from heaven, with his mighty angels and flaming fire, he will command judgment on those who do not know God and do not heed the good news of our Lord Yeshua. They will pay the price of eternal ruin away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. On that day, when he comes to be glorified among his Keshedim, and marvel at by all who believed, because our testimony to you was believed." Shaul states that there is a price that is paid for those who know Adonai and Messiah Yeshua, and there's a cost for those who do not know or acknowledge Adonai and Messiah Yeshua. The difference is, for the one who acknowledges him, it is for their own glory. And for the one that does not, it's for their own ruin. Shaul wrote also to the Galatians that the two eternities are different for those who act in different ways. It will be based on what they sow in this life. Galatians, starting in 6:7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows in the Ruach will reap from the Ruach eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, let us do good towards all, especially those who belong in the household of faith. What does it mean that God is not mocked? The Greek word there is mukterizo, and this is the only place that that word is used. It means that he will not allow you to speak about him in a wrongful way, or in a way that will allow others to be fooled about who he is. It also could be seen as not being able to fool Adonai into making a wrong judgment about you. He knows who you really are, and he knows what you really did do, which is what you've sown. We're told that what you sow is what you reap. Sow from the flesh, and you have eternity that will feel as if it's in the flesh. The burning, the worms eating at the flesh. Sow from the spirit, and you will have eternity that will reap from the ruach that is good, and the result in your everlasting presence before him. This is why Yeshua states in Mark how to live your life currently. This is why we need to be aggressive against sin in our bodies and our body parts. Mark 9:43, starting there. And if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than having two hands to go to Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The description of eternal death that Shaul uses when talking about being separated from Adonai is found in Isaiah 66, where Isaiah says that the Levites, or those elevated to the priesthood of Adonai, we'll see those who were struck down by Adonai. And this is how he describes it. Isaiah 66:24. As they leave, they will look at the corpses of the people who rebelled against me. For their worm will not die, and their fire will not be quenched, and they will be a horror to all flesh. The instruction from Yeshua is to get rid of anything that would make you stumble or sin in this life, so that you will not be among those struck down by Adonai. If you think that there is damage from ridding yourself of a body part that causes you to sin, or there's a loss from ridding yourself of a habit that's not glorifying Adonai, he wants you to know that the eternal damage is even greater. John's writings encourage us to live this way. 1 John 2:24, starting there. As for you, let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, you also will continue to live in the Son and in the Father. Now this is the promise that he himself has promised us, eternal life. John wrote to those who were taught correctly and were believers in Messiah Yeshua, and he was encouraging them to continue in what they know. He's saying by keeping with the God and Messiah that they know from the time of their salvation, so from the very time, first time they found atonement through salvation with Messiah Yeshua, they would have eternal life, which is eternity with Adonai. This is an echoing of what they heard directly from Yeshua in John 14. Remember, they didn't have the Gospels written down yet. So they depended on the writings and encouragements of the disciples and the Ruach to lead them. So Shaul is telling them what we now can read in John. Right? These letters were written before the Gospels. So now we can go back and say, well, John wrote this in John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This obviously is Yeshua speaking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer behold me, but you will behold me because I live. You also will live. The instructions by Yeshua and later written in letter form was to keep the words, keep the instructions or Torah that they were taught. For Yeshua, he was saying, you learned the Torah as given by Adonai before I came to you, so keep it as I'm clarifying it for you. For Shaul, he was saying the same thing. You were taught the Torah given by Adonai, so keep them as Yeshua wants you to keep them. Adonai has made you to last forever. Each one of you will last forever, but not your body. You are the Ruach and soul of who you are. The body is only for now, but you are for eternity. The body feels for now, but you will feel forever. The body feels pain and relief. Your Ruach will be either forever joyful or forever sorrowful. This means that you will be without end. We think we know what without end means based on what we're going through. We think we know what forever means. We think we know what never ending means. You're sitting through this service. You know what forever means. You know what forever means. You know the pain that your body has. It'll feel like it's never going to end. The pain in your spirit from the loss of a loved one that feels like it's never going to end. But the truth is that all of these things will end. It could be a while before they do, but we will see the end of our bodies. Either at the end of time on earth, when the sky is rolled up like a scroll and Yeshua returns, if we live that long, or our last breath in this body. But both of these things do not mean that you'll stop being. Eternity does not mean that this life is meaningless, but perhaps even more so how important this life is. It determines your eternal future. Does it seem fair that our eternity would hinge on what you do in this life? Especially if you don't realize it, that as it's happening, that this is what you're going to be judged by? The answer is, it's fair if we recognize that that's what's happening. We will be judged for what we do when we are given the opportunity to read the rule book and live the life that we're meant to live. The rule book is the scriptures that tell us what is expected of us. For those that do not read the book, is it fair that they should be judged by that same book if they didn't get to read it? It is because they're told of it. In today's world, and especially in this country that we live in, the United States, there is almost no one that has not heard or seen, or at least have some idea of God and his guidelines for our living. It's up to each of us to help each other and to help others who don't know yet. We have to tell them what the lines that Adonai has set for us and how we're to act. In Acts, we're told this in the writings. Acts 24:15. In God I have hope, which these men also wait for, that there will surely be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Therefore, I do my best to have a clear conscience before both God and men. Shaul restates that all men, I'm going through a bar mitzvah again. All men. Shaul restates that all men will be raised up in spirit, and all men will be judged, which is why he lived a life that would keep his conscience clear, as he said, before God and men, putting God first. That means that he wanted to live so as to be separated as a sheep, as we heard earlier. That means letting other people know, not just living right by yourself, letting others know what's right and why it's right. We know Shaul was not a perfect man, but that's okay because it's not what Adonai is looking for. Adonai doesn't look for perfection. We can look back in Scripture and say, none of those people were perfect. Maybe Enoch, he was taken up before. Maybe he's the exception to the rule. I don't know. The eternal judgment is not about how good or bad we were. If you sinned a bunch or if you sinned just a little, we all will be judged, and eternity will exist based on what you did about your sin while you were still alive. The fact is, all are sinners, but the judgment is not based on how bad, but based on what was done to cleanse yourself. And the problem that men have is there's nothing that men can do to cleanse themselves except to depend on the one who can do it for us. And that is Yeshua and the blood that makes atonement for all men and for all sin. So just as we're told in 2 Corinthians, we are not to lose hope in this life. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our trouble, light and momentary, is producing for us the eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. As we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. We strive for the eternal thing that we cannot see, and perhaps don't even fully understand. Just as a child, when his father goes on a business trip and says, I'm going to bring you something great and special. Now, the child doesn't know what it is. He may not even recognize it as great and special when he sees it, but his father said he was going to get something great and special. So what does the child do? His expectations start to ramp up. He's looking forward to the father coming back. He's looking forward to this special gift that he's been told about. This is who we are as well. We've been told that something great to come, which we've not seen yet, Maybe don't even fully know. Maybe we don't even fully understand it. But we've been told by the Father that it's coming. And we anxiously await it. We know it will be good, not because we understand it, but because our Father said so. The description sounds good and great, but I don't think I can fully picture it based on what we're told in Revelation. Revelation 21, starting at the top of it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle among them, and they shall be my people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, nor shall there be mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away." This is the description of eternity for those who will be judged worthy to be with him for eternity. It will not be seen until the final day when the earth is done away with, and there will be heaven in the new earth. Yeshua gave us a glimpse of what it is and how to obtain it when he was speaking about the end of the earth. John 17:1. Yeshua spoke these things then, lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so the Son may be glorified in you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, so may he give eternal life to all those who you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua, the Messiah, the one you sent." That they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua, the Messiah, the one you sent. That "and" is very important there. God and Yeshua. The eternal life that Yeshua gives a man while here is the knowledge of who he is. It is not that man will go on for the rest of time, because we all in the spirit, regarding if we're righteous, unrighteous, regardless, if we accept him or don't accept him, we all will be for the rest of time. Life that he speaks of is the difference in a place and the way that we spend eternity. It's up to us to accept this knowledge and therefore gain eternal life and the way to get it. The only way to get it is through Adonai and the way that he created for us to get eternity before him. He created the blood of the animals that we read about in Leviticus. He created Yeshua. No, he didn't create Yeshua. He is Yeshua, whose blood was spilled in place of the animals. And he is the Ruach, who is within us now for those who accept him, to help us in this life to walk out righteousness, so that we may be with him eternally. That is the point of Scripture. Not the moral codes that people want to believe. This is what religion is. The how to. How to live. How to react to other people. No. The point of Scripture is, here is how to enter into eternity. The moral codes are how to. The acceptance of Yeshua is the how to. The cleanse by the blood is the how to enter into eternity with him. The absence of any of that gets you an eternity, but it's an eternity separated from him. And we read it with the with the fire that never ends and the worm that eats the flesh. This is why we do what we do. This is why we talk to people. This is why we read our scripture. This is why we reach out so that we can drag, if we have to, drag them into the light so that once they're there, they'll understand and join along in praise to Adonai. This is who we need to be. Amen? Father, we thank you that you've given us knowledge by your word of what eternity is. Knowledge by your word that we'll be with you throughout eternity if we are with you here and now. Ruach HaKodesh, for those who are walking without you, your word is quite clear what will happen if they don't find you before that last breath that they take. So Ruach, we ask, soften their hearts and give us opportunities to speak with them. Give us opportunities to tell them of Messiah Yeshua and the blood that cleanses all sin. We thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are the one we will be standing before if we run the good race while we're here, if we acknowledge, if we do and follow your Torah. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone says, amen and amen.